Welcome to Bikers Sunday Live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio. We welcome all bikers and visitors, and thank you for tuning in for another exciting message. Listen and enjoy, and let the presence of God give you an experience of your life.
Yeah, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, or book of Mark, please, first. And chapter 10, and this is what it says. Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Now notice this word, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "And son of David, have mercy upon me." And Jesus stopped. That's what he does. He stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "And what do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. He said, the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." So many people today want to see. "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Notice in this scripture here, I emphasize that many was walking along the way with Christ. Many was there. In fact, it says that when he began to call out to Christ, that many tried to rebuke him and to stop him. You know, well, I don't know how many people's here, and I'm not into the number thing. But see, there are many here today that are looking to find Christ in their life. There are many here today looking to find answers, and you'll find the four things that we're going to speak about today, that you have came here for one of those four reasons. And the thing is that even though there was many that was walking with Jesus Christ that day and standing with him, and there was those who was around Bartimaeus over there, that there was only one in that whole crowd that began to cry out. Sometimes when we come to places just like this, you know, we come for the food, and we come for the because it's a biker service, and we come for all the different reasons that there might be there, and those are all good. But you see, when we walk through the door, we really have no intention of calling out to Christ. We come here because it's a place to come on a Sunday morning, to ride our bike, to dress up, to come and to be with other people. Well, here it was the same thing. People was walking with Jesus Christ. They was walking with him because of what he had to offer. But in the midst of all that, when Jesus Christ had the ability to reach down and to meet every need that walked with him, there was only one that was reaching out, and that was Bartimaeus. He began to call out and to cry in the midst of them things. And you'll notice in this same scripture here, it says that there was some obstacles there. And today, you have obstacles. When you came into this church today, you also had obstacles that are going to possibly keep you from accepting Christ in your life or meeting the blessing that you came for today. Here it says the obstacle was people. That Bartimaeus said, "Jesus, have thou son of David, have mercy upon me." Jesus had heard his call, and his cries began to bring it out. And as he stood there, the church, the people that stood around him said, "Hey, wait a minute, Jesus hasn't got time for you." Not true. Jesus was passing by him for a reason. Jesus had taken the time to take that route and to go on that way because Bartimaeus was sitting over there blind, could not see, and he knew he needed a healing. He needed to have his eyes opened up. And today, when you came into this place today, you came for two reasons. One, most of all, prayerfully, you came that your eyes spiritually might be opened up. You know, sometimes we are blind and we are in the midst of all these things. Bartimaeus was there, life was passing him by. But the Bible tells us here in this same scripture that he knew it was Jesus Christ of Nazareth. How did he know that? He had heard about the Master. He had heard about the works of Christ. He had heard of the things that he had done. And when Jesus began to go by him, and I was telling the pastor, sometimes in our lives that Jesus will come by us, and as he come by here, he will never force us to come to him. He will come by, he will walk by us, he will speak to us, and he will talk to us, and he will even call us out of the crowd there, and it's still up to us to come to Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus had felt, he couldn't see him at this time, but he felt that Jesus was passing by. Now imagine this, here's a blind man sitting by the roadside begging. He hears the crowd coming, and no doubt probably somewhere in there, he may have even picked out the voice of Jesus in the midst, because it tells us that we would know and hear the voice of Christ. And maybe as he's coming through there, he said, well, what's the commotion going on? And he said, well, it's a man named Jesus, and people are following him through here. Well, as he's going through there, he said, hey, you know what? I've heard about this man named Jesus. He has the power to meet my need. He hears the voice get stronger and stronger and louder and louder and louder. And now as he's maybe passing by here, the voice is in front of him, and all of a sudden the voice begins to fade away. He realizes that Jesus is just about to pass him by. He just about lost his opportunity. He begins to cry out with a loud voice. And he lifts up that voice, and Jesus hears that. But it doesn't say he stopped at that moment. He wants to see how serious we are about having that relationship with him. You see, so there's many today that Jesus passes by, they call out to him, and they reach him, and they find him, and yet they turn him loose. And here's what happens, and if you're here today, and you're in clubs, I love the clubs and the ministries and stuff, but here's what happens. Sometimes when people get involved in stuff, and they want to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're involved to a point they just can't figure how to get out of something. And so I would love to give my life to Jesus Christ, but if I do, what about my friends? What are my friends going to think of me? Is my club going to think about me? What's my family going to think about me? What's my drug buddies or my alcoholic buddies? What are they going to think about me? And so there's a faintness there. And Jesus said, okay, I'm going to pass by you. I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to call you. But you have to have a desire to come out there and come to me. And Bartimaeus began to speak. He began to call out and to call out. And those that his friends that were standing about, he said, now be quiet. You don't need this Jesus. Isn't that what friends do sometimes? What are them Christians, what are they going to do with you? What are them Christians, are they going to be your friends? Yeah, they're going to be your friends. That is a true brotherhood. Coming to know Christ as your personal Savior. Coming one-on-one. Two of my buddies came up with me today, rode up here about 90 miles and I appreciated that they came because that I was speaking today, not because I'm anything great, but because they came to support me and they came to support this church. That is what happens today. Well, they said, hey, be quiet. There's Jesus. There's nothing there. There's no way he's going to stop for you. And he said, the Bible says here that he began to call out that much more. And what happened, it says that Jesus stopped. He stopped because there was a change in the voice of Bartimaeus. Now listen, here's how he says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. They said, hush, be quiet. He has no time for you. Now there's an urgency because Jesus is getting farther and farther away from him. The same way with us today. Sometimes we get so deep in sin and we can't get close to God. We can't find him and we feel he's passing us by. So we go back farther and farther in sin. And all of a sudden, out of desperation, the voice that he says, Jesus! Bang, he stops. Have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. Could you imagine the crowd? They began to bump into him. And all of a sudden he turns around and he says, tell him to come. You see, there has to be a desire in our heart to come and know Christ as our Savior. Not just a knowledge of him in our head. There has to be a desire inside of our hearts. And Bartimaeus had a desire inside of his heart to come and to know Christ. Jesus stopped. Now the Holy Spirit speak to him and said, "Hey, Bartimaeus, you come to me." And it says that he jumped up and he threw his cloak off and he said he came to Jesus. Now here's the thing. Many people come, but they don't do anything about it. They come up and they run up here and they run someplace else and they come there and they get there and nothing changes in their life. And so Jesus says this, "Okay, Bartimaeus, I've called you and now you came. What do you want?" I prayed with at our church last night. I prayed with the guy, I'm a stickler on prayer. You know, if somebody comes for the need, you tell me what your need is because I want to pray for that need. If you want to be healed, I want to pray for healing. You want to pray for peace in your life, I want to pray for peace in your life. You want to get saved, I want to pray that you get saved. And this guy was there. He was at the altar last night. He was standing there and people was praying all these different prayers around him and stuff. And I crawled up on the stage in front of him and looked him in the eye and I said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want to be saved." They was praying for casting out demons. They was praying over here that he'd be healed. He needed to be saved. Jesus says, "Bartimaeus, what do you want?" Bartimaeus said, "Rabbi," he said, "I want to see." Specific. Jesus wants us to be specific when we call out to him to the needs inside of our lives. And what did Jesus tell him? "Thy faith hath made thee whole." He says, "You go." Well, that's the same way with us today. We're going to talk about spiritual-wise. He said he opens up our eyes. Bartimaeus was spiritually blind. He was legally blind here. But he said, "I want to see." Well, I believe he began to see Jesus Christ for who he was. He felt the power of God come upon his life. He jumped up. He began to see physically. And now he could see his Savior spiritually. So today, if you are unsaved and looking for Jesus Christ, you've came to the right place. All that you have to do is to come and say, "Lord Jesus, I want to receive my sight." You got to get salvation in first. We prayed with another girl last night. I didn't know her name over there. The girls was over there. They called me over. And she said that she wanted healing. She had a liver and hepatitis C. And they wanted to pray for healing. Well, what does James say? I'm going to jump ahead, but I'm going to come back to it later. But, you know, what we begin, let me just get it later. Let me do that. Okay, Lord says stop, move on. And we'll get to that section because healing's exciting to me. I love healing part. But here, Bartimaeus came to know him. So today, you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In fact, when we give an invitation here after a while, I'm going to come to you first. I'm going to ask that you would come and give your life. In fact, you can come anytime during this service. You don't have to wait till we give an invitation because the invitation is already given that you might come to Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's what we're here for today, to see you saved. In fact, if you remember back, I believe it's Isaiah around chapter 5, verse 14. It's not in the PowerPoint, but it says that hell hath enlarged its gates. And I kept going through my mind yesterday. I thought, you know, is that some wives' tale or is that scriptural? So I thought, I don't want to say something that's not scriptural. I began to look through there, and it was over in Isaiah, I think, 5:14. It says that hell hath enlarged its gates. Why? Because Israel fell away from God, began to go over, and their people was going into the depths of hell. Well, God never intended for you to die lost. He said, "For I wish that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So therefore, hell was not intended for you. Was never intended for you. And that's the reason today that hell is enlarging its gates. Let's move on. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 and through 33. These are kind of long scriptures. We want you to read it with us. Matthew 14, 22 through 33. "Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the wave because of the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake." King James says water. "When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, said, 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.' Lord, if it's you. Now, this is Peter, the one that was his disciple. Lord, if it is you. Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Jesus said, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. He got afraid. Lord, save me. 1 John 4:18, I believe, says that there's no fear of love, because perfect love casts out fear. So there should never be fear in the Christian's life. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, came toward Jesus. He saw the wind. He was afraid, began to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. You of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, didn't they know that before? Isn't that amazing? So what does he do? He takes away our fears. How many is afraid? See, nobody raised their hand because I didn't want you to. But how many of you are afraid? Afraid of losing your job? Afraid of losing your family, your kids? Maybe that one that you love is sick and you're afraid you're going to lose them to death? Maybe you're afraid to step out and do what God is calling you to do? Jesus said, I've came to take this fear away. That's what he says, our fear away. You know, in our ministry that we do, we get asked a lot, aren't you afraid of the places that you go? Well, no. You know, God, you know, if you're following what God has asked you to do, it's scary being a pastor. You know, I pastored Brother Mike over as a pastor. He's been a pastor, and you know, it's scary. It's not afraid, but it's scary, because every time he stands up in the pulpit, he delivers the word of God, and every word that he has spoken, he's accountable for. Every time that somebody speaks inside of his church, he's accountable for. Every person that speaks on behalf of the church, he's responsible for. Every person that teaches a Sunday school lesson or a Bible lesson or a small groups lesson, he is responsible for that. See, that can make a pastor afraid, but it doesn't, because he is called to the position that he's called in, and there is no fear when you're doing the thing that God has called you to do. There is no fear in that. Here, as we look at this, Jesus had just fed 5,000 people. They was there, and they took this blows and fish, and they fed 5,000 men, the wives and the children over there, and they'd seen a tremendous miracle take place. And they knew the power and the strength of God. And now it says that he takes them, he puts them on a ship, and he sends them off. And Jesus was tired. Just like you and I get tired physically and spiritually. And Jesus went to the mountain to be by himself and to refresh himself. And what he did, he came to spend time with his Father. And when he got over there, he got with his Father, and he prayed to him, and he talked with him. He began to refresh himself. And that's what we need to do. And here, he put his people into a ship, and they began to go out. And Jesus is up there, and he's getting indwelled again. He's getting strengthened again. His power's coming back, and he's getting refreshed, and he might go out, because he knows when he goes out there, he has to do something again. So he goes out. And when he gets there, it's just like me and you. You and I have storms in our lives. We deal with people every day that have storms in our life. With our economy right now, people are losing homes and their cars, and they're losing their families, and a storm has came their way. There are people that have lost loved ones through death, and sometimes too early of a death. These things are happening there. They go home. I just heard that somebody even say, while I was here, they went home and their wife had left them. Well, here's what's happening. We encounter storms in our life. That's part of life. You know, just because you get saved doesn't mean there's no storms. But the thing is, it depends on where you put your rain suit or your umbrella. is what it boils down to. How do you encounter the storm? You know, we can buckle under, we can get afraid and not have any idea where tomorrow is going to come from. And that's what happened here. These disciples, they got on a ship and they began to go out. And when they went over there, they began to find these things. The storm came and Jesus began to walk across the water. And as they began to walk across the water, they got over there. And they're concerned and the boat's tipping back and forth. If you ever fish Lake Erie, it can get bad up there sometimes, and you say, oh, I should not be out in this boat on Lake Erie. And I can understand what they're talking about. I've been in 6-foot waves up there in a 16-foot boat, and it's not fun. I can understand what they're going through here. It can put a little fear in you. Well, here's what my favorite book, Daniel Webster, says: fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by anticipation of danger or dread or panic. See, people have panic and they dread and fear that comes inside their life. Why? Because of this thing called fear. And they looked over and they began to lose their sight of Christ. Peter knew who Jesus Christ was. They said, like it was a ghost coming through. Now, remember, they just spent over there time walking with Jesus hours before. They had sat with Him. They carried the baskets and they fed and they brought it back to Him. He blessed it and He broke it right in front of them. They knew who Jesus was. And now, because of their fear, they thought He was something else. Peter, one that said, Lord, though all people will deny you, I will never deny you. He said, Lord, if it's you, do you do that? Lord, if it's you, then you help me. Don't you know Him? Man, hey, I'm telling you what. The one here, here's how you know Him. Remember that time you came to the altar and you accepted Him as your Savior? He washed you white as snow, cleansed your sin, and cast it as far as east is from the west. Don't you know Him? Peter said, if it's you, then you tell me to come out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Jesus said, come on. Come on. And he did. But he stepped out in fear. Because he looked around and he seen all the circumstances that surrounded him. The waves was up and the wind was blowing and the mist was coming in his face. He was walking on the water. Then all of a sudden he looked around at all the circumstances of life and he began to fall. That sounds like us, doesn't it? Jesus has raised us out and called us out. He said, step out by faith with me and I will walk with you. Then all of a sudden we look at all the stuff that's going around us and maybe our homes are falling apart. Maybe all these things are happening in life. But Jesus has not failed. He is still there. He is still standing beside us, asking us to step with Him and walk with Him by faith. Forget about circumstances, they may never go away. People may have cancer and still die, even after asking for healing. Does that mean God has failed? No. But Peter looked at circumstances. Our circumstances in salvation and faith is in Christ. Has nothing to do with anything else. But he began to fall. And when we began to fall, I got four things here. We need to recognize that, first of all, we are helpless. The older I get, it seems like the more I fall over silly thing, my balance. You know, you step on something, you're young, and you normally just spring back up. Now I roll over before I get up. You know, you hit the ground and you roll over. You normally just spring back up. I don't spring back up anymore. But you see, when we are in circumstances of life, that we are helpless without Christ. Simple as that. You can't correct it. You can't correct it. You may try, but you can't. So you have to understand that you are helpless without Christ. The second thing, we need to recognize that we need to call out to Christ. Peter was sinking. He was walking on the water, looking at Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden he lost his focus. He looked around. He began to sink. Then all of a sudden, you know what he saw? He saw a hand. He saw a hand. He had lost his focus, but he recognized that he needed to call out to Christ. He knew he was going to drown. He also knew enough here too. He knew enough that the one that's called him to step out on the boat and let him take some steps on the water could raise him up because he was still standing on the water. You ever think about that? Peter said, "Oh, help me." He said, "Okay, who am I going to ask to help? The guy that's sinking with me or the guy that's still walking on the water? That's what I'm going to holler for." So we need to recognize that. Thirdly, we need to recognize that He's reaching down to help us. He's reaching down because we are down. He's not reaching up. He's reaching down to us. We are the ones that have to take a hold of His hand. We are the ones that have to reach back and come to Him. We are the ones that need to take it and grab it and say, "Okay, Jesus, You pull me out of here." That's what He says to us, and that's what He did to Peter. And then, just like Peter, He will bring us to safety in Christ. Us to safety in Christ. I've got a scripture that I truly believe. And a lot of Christians, I'm not going to say a few, a lot of Christians say, "Roy, you're wrong." It's okay, the scripture is not wrong. They say it's hard to live a Christian life. And Mid-South, Southern Ohio, biblical standard says hogwash. Okay? Because the scripture says that the way of a transgressor is hard. Doesn't talk about Christ. It's hard being a Christian. It's hard being a sinner. Because, you know, you can't please yourself. You can't please anybody. Who are you going to go to? Who are you going to call to when you're sick? Who are you going to call to when your family's gone away? Who are you going to call to in all your need? To me, it's easy being a Christian. We make it hard, but it's easy being a Christian. We have a Savior that has a proven track record. He has never failed. Never failed. We have failed, but Jesus has never failed. And Peter knew that, so he reached out and Jesus lifted him out of the water. So He came to take away our fears. Thirdly, in Mark chapter 5, verse 24 through 34, and I get excited about this. I've seen a lot of this take place. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed after around him. Notice that everywhere Jesus went, there was many or a lot or a large crowd. He never traveled much by himself. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. And she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she got worse. Imagine that. When she heard about Jesus, there that Jesus again. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind Him in the crowd and touched His cloak. And because she thought, "If I just touch His clothes, she had heard about Jesus, and she said, she thought, "If I could just touch His clothes, I don't even have to go to Him. If I could just touch Him, I will be healed." And imagine her hearing and her thought, her faith, immediately her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. She felt the touch. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from Him. He knew she was serious. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" He didn't shout it out because I'm sure everybody was kind of silent when he turned around. "Who touched my clothes?" Here we are again. You see the people crowding against you and you ask, "Who touched me?" You'll know when somebody touches Jesus. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Jesus, now notice, every time that these things happen, Jesus had just cast out demons out of the man of Gadara over there. They was so full of demons that they called themselves, "We are legion because we are many." So they had seen this great miracle that had taken place, and they're walking through the crowd and they're going through there, and this woman comes up and she touches the hem of his garment. It was a real disease. How many years? 12 years. 12 years she had suffered with this illness and this sickness. A friend of mine named Rusty Barnett was an unsaved guy at the time. He knew God and got away and went chasing women, drugs and alcohol and stuff. He thought that was the best way to go. And we got colon cancer. About this big. If you can't see back, it's golf ball size in his colon. MRIs and x-rays all showed it and stuff. And again, this is not about me. I got to share the story because I only share when God puts them in my heart. But God sent me to anoint him. And I called Rusty. I said, "Rusty," I said, "what are you doing?" He said, "I'm getting ready to get a haircut and stuff." He said, "what are you doing?" I said, "I'm getting ready to come to your house." I said, "because God has called me to come to anoint you and to heal you. To anoint you, he's going to heal you." And he said, "oh, what time you'll be there?" I said, "I'm leaving work now." And I went and got there, and he's waiting for me. I'm going to break it real short. And got over there, and of course, you know, dealing with healing, you know, the last scripture I have here talks about James, said, "call the elders of the church and have them anoint you with oil. And then the prayer of the faith shall heal you." You know, it doesn't say might, will heal you. Will heal you. And then it said, "if there be any sin among you, it will be forgiven you." Well, I kind of done it backward. I said, "Rusty," I said, "you can't even pray for yourself." I said, "you're unsaved. You can't even pray a prayer of healing. You can't ask God to touch your body." But I said, "me and your wife can." And so I talked to him about coming back. He'd run out of the room. He'd cry and come back. And finally, he gave his heart to the Lord. He wanted to. The Lord told me to stop, and I stopped. I get ready to anoint him. And then he got saved. but here's what happened. God says, told me, he says, "Roy, you tell him I'm going to heal him." And I told him, I said, "Rusty," I said, "this is a hard thing to say. You know, God's telling me what he's telling me to tell you. He's going to heal you of this cancer. It has nothing to do with me. It's all about God." And so we anointed him by faith. And they took him to Riverside Hospital, and they was going to do this surgery. They'd shaved him and made the marks and the lines where they was going to cut him. And the doctor says, "you know what, I think I'll go one more time to look and see where it's at." He ran the light in him. It wasn't there. The doctor said, "we must have made a mistake." And the family laid out the x-rays and the MRIs and says, "no." Said he got saved and he got healed of God. He's still serving the Lord today. He still has no cancer. It was a real disease. Just like this woman, she had heard about Jesus. She came for the healing power. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, she believed and understood. By faith, she came to him. Notice again, in a crowd like this, and Jesus in the middle, only one person was looking for their need to be met. There was many needs in that room. Many needs that day. And I'm going to stop there with the healing part, because if there's somebody here, and I believe there has to be, in order for God to give me this section, God can heal. Little girl, don't even know her name, at church last night. Hepatitis C. and liver. She came because she had heard that people had been healed. She came up front and they called us over and I said, what do you need? She said, I want to be healed. I've got this going on in my life. I said, well, do you know Jesus? She said, no. She said, I want to be healed. I said, well, let's get things right. I said, God can heal you, but I said, the greatest healing is a spiritual healing, and God washing your sins as white as snow. And she went, well, okay. And so I said, well, let's pray. Put her hands on her face, and we anointed her. The women and a couple of men gathered around, and I said, Lord, I said, you know her heart. I said, you reveal yourself to her first spiritually. I said, Lord, she needs that more than a healing. And that's the way that we prayed. Finally, she began to wilt. I felt the hot tears run across my hands. I said, okay. I said, now, Lord, I said, she needs healed. Not just a touch, she needs healed. And we prayed, and when we got done there, you know, everybody was asking her about her healing. And I said, did you accept Christ as your Savior? She said, oh, yes. She said, I felt him. And then she said, he told me that he healed me. You see, the scripture says, my sheep hear my voice. She would have never recognized him if she didn't know him. The last scripture we have is kind of long, so bear with me on this. It just kind of ties it all together. In Luke 24, 13 through 32, you can keep playing, that's great, I love that. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now Jesus had just been crucified, laid in a grave for 3 days, resurrected. Nobody can find him. They talked with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up. See, he was passing by. And he walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Like many of you, Jesus is walking right beside you. And you don't recognize him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still. Their faces were downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know these things that have happened there in these days? Jesus says, what things? He was the thing. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over. See, they recognized what happened, handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. They remembered. In addition, some of our women amazed us. Like people get amazed today when they talk about Christ. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. It's been 3 days. than some of our companions. Remember, Peter ran and John went to the tomb and found out just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these sayings and then enter into his glory?" Then he began from Moses and the prophets and explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going farther. You see, he didn't force himself on them. He was going to pass them by. They urged him strongly, "Stay with us. It is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They had heard all about Jesus, like many of you. They'd heard. They knew that all that took place, just like you. They could even talk about him and didn't really know him, just like you. A lot of people talk about Christ and don't really know him. They know about Jesus born in a manger, dying on a cross, and all the in-between. They know about him, but they don't know him. I titled this section, "Jesus Wants to Commune with Us." He wants to break bread with us and to sit at our table. They ask him to stay, like many of you. "Jesus, I know about you. I was laying in a hospital bed about to die. Some people came in and told me all about you. We met on that day. I got better. Who are you?" They said, "Stay with us because it's getting late. It's getting late." Jeremiah, I believe it was Jeremiah, said, "The harvest is past, the summer's ended, and we are not saved." It's getting late. "Would you just stay with us? We enjoy your company. We like what you talk about and the way you talk. We like the way we feel around you. We feel peace in your life." Like Bartimaeus, he says, "Come." And he stopped. The two men on the road to Emmaus, he stopped and he spoke. "Draw them near." He broke the bread. Remember John? Remember John 6? Jesus said, "You know, eat my body and drink my blood," and 666. Whew.
John 6, verse 6 says, from that time many began to walk away. Said, man, that's a hard saying. Jesus said, just take me completely. Did not our hearts burn? I guarantee you this morning, if you're unsaved, your heart's burning. The desire to know this Savior is burning. If you're sinking in fear, your heart is burning because you know He has the power to take that fear away and put peace in your life. And if you're sick, He said, you know, He said, I would like to anoint you with oil and to heal you. And in your heart, you desire, and God has said, you know what? Why don't you ask me to help you? Why haven't you done it? Your heart is burning for a healing. And like these two men here, He wants to commune with you. He wants to come to you and in you. Not just be something that you talk about, but that you have that relationship with Him. To know Him intimately here in your life. He's calling. Not if, He is calling. And you desire that this morning, as our brother does this invitation, we ask that you stand. We're going to ask that you come and let God minister to your needs. Let God minister to your needs. There's people ready to pray. Would you come and let God minister to your need? Come on. I'm desperate for you. Are you desperate for Christ? Come on. God has already spoke to you. Come on. I'm desperate for you. Come on. Bring your need right now. Bring your need right now. Bring your need right now. Come on. Let Jesus meet that need in your life right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You're craving Him. You're craving Him. Desiring that need in your life. Come on. Desiring that need in your life. Come on. You that need healed. Come on. Come on, let's anoint you. That God can take that away. Come on. Spiritual, come on. Spiritual, come on. Let Him meet your need today. Jesus is passing down in every one of these aisles today. And He's passing by your heart. He got His hand stuck out. He's saying, come. Come. He's begging. Come. Come. Because time is running out.